Be seated for just a few minutes. The scripture said that we need to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And it's so vital, because if I couldn't do that, I'm in the trenches with you, believe me, today. If I couldn't do that, I couldn't make it, I couldn't take it. Paul said, because he knew how to do that. He knew how to focus away from the things that drug him down and upon that would lift him up. Amen. So he said, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. And then, because he knew how to do that, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In other words, I'm equal to whatever I'm facing because of the grace that he gives, the goodness that he shows, the presence of God in my life. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that I'm a follower of Jesus today. I don't know any better way to. And why don't we give a hand clap to all of these young people? We used to have two or three, and that's growing. We had some people with a pretty doggy drop off some young people today, and we're grateful. So they're going to beat us over there if this keeps up, and I hope it does. Hallelujah. They'll grow up and get married and have children, and then they'll come over here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Their kids will be over there. And of course, I'll be 110, but anyway, God is good today. Amen. We're getting ready to receive our offering in just a few moments. Yes, ma'am. All right. Well, we would like to welcome your friend. What is your name? And how tall are you? Okay. See, I'm standing way back here because I'm not quite that. We're glad to have you today. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good, and he's so very, very gracious. And I'm going to wait just a moment for the offering. Doug will be back in a minute. But see, you can do that too. Now, you got to click on the little icon for this, okay? All right, in just a moment. In fact, I want to just pray personally. In my heart, I've been praying personally for everybody that is here today. And there we go. You can now? Okay, we got somebody coming. I think we got we're set up for the offering song. Amen. Let me say this to you real quick before we receive the offering. The Bible talks a lot about the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, and they are safe. The name of the Lord defend thee. So we're going to talk in just a few minutes about the name of the Lord. The Bible said God has highly exalted Jesus Christ and given him a name that is above every name that is named, things in heaven and earth and beneath the earth, that at the sound of his name, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. The Bible said there's no other name given under heaven to men. Now, this is getting very serious at this point. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. No other name, save with no other name, except the name of Jesus. No other name except the name of Jesus. In fact, I want to trade these. Praise God. As the Spirit leads, we're going to just operate in that vein. So when the disciples were preaching through his name, Jesus, the resurrection from the dead and salvation, they would have killed them, according to Acts chapter 4. Satan promotes any religious system. He doesn't just promote atheism, but any religious system that doesn't proclaim Jesus as the mediator between God and man. There is one God, the scripture declares, and one mediator between God and man. How many know his name? It's Jesus, no other name. So they told them not to quit preaching, not to quit teaching, not to quit practicing any form of religious system, but don't preach or teach anymore in this name. And the Bible said, according to Acts chapter 4, they would have stoned them to death, but they could not deny that a notable miracle had been wrought through his name. And all of the people saw it, and they feared the people. Amen. It's the only thing that kept them from killing him right there on the spot, because they were declaring his name. Amen. Now, the Bible said that something was set in motion. Hell set something in motion. And it's called the spirit of Antichrist. Not anti-religion for the sake of religion, but specifically Antichrist, the Messiah. And every spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, in other words, that God was incarnate. Amen. That the second person of the Godhead was made flesh and dwelt among us is Antichrist. And the Bible said the spirit of Antichrist doth already work. Started then and it's going straight. That's why they don't want a manger scene in the town square. Amen. They could have a Buddha sitting in the city gardens alongside the plants, but not a manger scene in the city square. Why? Because that's the name that saves. And the devil knows it. He doesn't want it preached. He doesn't want us to exalt him. Amen. He wants to do everything he can to attack and undermine. But God poured out his spirit in a peculiar way that name may be preached, proclaimed, and exalted. Praise God. So we're going to talk about the name of the Lord today in just a few minutes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Brother Willie, would you ask the blessing on the gift and giver as we proclaim the name of Jesus today?
Every fear has no place. the name of the Lord, yea, all they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why I filled you with my Spirit, that you may exalt, that you may preach, that you may proclaim, that you may bear witness to his great name, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Brother Taylor, I can't afford. Let the devil stop me from praising his name, preaching his name, proclaiming his name. That's why the name of our radio broadcast is not Let's Talk About Brother Venable. And it's not Let's Talk About the Republicans. And it's not Let's Talk About the Democrats. It's about Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're pinning your hopes on who wins the next election, you're in deep trouble. Can you say amen? We'll sanctify it for church. You're in deep trouble. Amen? Because God wants to turn this nation around. God wants to turn families around, homes around, lives around. He's in the delivering business. But you've got to know him. And that's why Paul's cry was, oh, that I might know him. The Bible said they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. They that what? Go to church? No, you're here to learn about him. Amen. You pray to seek him. They that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. The New International said they will be steadfast and take action. They won't be stymied by fear. They won't be distracted by the circumstances around them. Amen. Because they know their God. The Bible said, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom in the New Testament. Let not the mighty man glory in his strength. Amen. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God. That he say it with me. He knows and understands me, saith God. Amen. The Bible said in Jeremiah 3 in chapter 15, and I will give you pastors, shepherds, after my own heart. You want to know what you're supposed to do? Are you supposed to just try to beg people to come and worship their God? Is that my job? Is it my job to beg Christians to honor their God? Beg Christians to love each other? Beg Christians to follow Jesus? Is that my job? If it is, I resign. I resign because I'm not begging for Jesus. Sin must not be hurting bad enough. It must not be hard enough living without him yet. It must be going to have to get really, really bad before people realize just how precious he is and how much we need him. Can you say, man? I would wear myself out. I keep hearing the lyric of something that's so unspiritual, and yet God is giving me that lyric of a secular song and applying it to so many Christians. Bonnie Raitt, Emmy winning, or whatever the music awards, is it? Not Emmy, but Grammy winning artist, singing the blues. And here's why the blues were sung. I can't make you love me if you don't. You have a free will. You can appreciate what Christ has done, or you can just shove it aside and not respond to his love by loving him back. Can you say amen? I can't make you love me if you don't. And I can't make your heart feel something it won't. There is a decision. You can choose to love the Lord. Can you say amen? You know what he wants more than anything else for what he's done on the cross for you and me? He wants us to just love him back. Just love him back. This man is going to marry this woman October 20th. He fell in love with her. And guess what? She's going to show up to marry him. He says, wow, hallelujah. Why? Because she's loving him back. And he's going to show up to marry her because she fell in love with him. And guess what? He's loving her back. Can you say amen? The Bible said we love him because he first loved us. And God wants you to know him. To know him. It's through his mighty, wonderful, powerful name that knowledge begins to be disseminated unto us. Psalm 9 and verse 10 says, and this is a great incentive for faith, they that know thy name will put their trust in you. Did I read Jeremiah 3:15? Thank you for bringing me back to it. Amen. Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors after my own heart, and they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Blessed are they that not the wise man in his riches, the mighty man in his strength, the rich man in his riches, rather, mighty man in his strength, wise man in his wisdom, but he that glorieth or boasteth, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God. Hallelujah. That he knows and understands me, saith God. I'll give you pastors that will tell you about me, that will teach you about me, that will bring the revelation of who I am, my character, my person, not just my power, but who I am. Amen. Israel saw his power. They knew what God could do, but they didn't know what God would do. They saw him part the Red Sea, but when they saw giants in the land and great walled cities, the Bible said they knew his wonders, but Moses knew his ways. Can you say, man, he knew him in a more personal way rather than just seeing the Red Sea part and seeing him come through. That's why the Apostle Paul, with all his Pentecostal credentials, said, oh, that I might know him. He knew him as his Savior, but to know him intimately, to know him personally, is different. So I'll give you pastors. What will they do? That you might know and understand me, saith God. Amen. The Bible said, Paul's last charge to the church, the elders at Ephesus, is to feed the flock of God that is among you. Feed the flock of God that is among you. I'll give you pastor. What's the food? Everybody say, what's the food? What are we having? Amen. The word of God, particularly, that reveals Christ for who he is, the Father for who he is. Amen. Jesus did things in such a way that they had a longing to know the Father. They saw all the miracles that he did, the wonders that he did, but it did not satisfy them. God was calling to something deeper than just seeing miracles and wonders and gifts in operation. Can you say, man, and you know what they said to Jesus? Show us the Father. And it will suffice us. It will satisfy us. Praise God. Amen. And you know what? How Jesus responded? He said, have you been with me all this time and you haven't seen the Father? He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Can you say amen? God made it clear. God made it plain. God took on flesh. Praise God. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody here still in school? We're all old folks here. Praise God. No real youngins. They're all over there. Some years ago, when this real separation, when they didn't want the prayer in schools, when they didn't want anything to do with God, and it's still going on, but when it first started, they were really hammering this thing. And a young man that sat in our church, they were in a literature class, of all things, a literature class. And they were talking about great books that have impacted the world down through history. And they talked about the writings of this one and that one and the other one. And the last of the course, the last week of that course, guess which book they decided they just had to recognize as having impacted the world? The Bible. So the teacher asked them in this literature class of seniors. It was an elective class. And it was full of seniors because when I had my senior, I married Pamela before I became a senior. And we had a baby and we started working and we've been doing that ever since. Amen. But in my senior year, I had it planned out. I took every required thing that I could before my senior year. When I got to my senior year, I didn't want to have, but maybe, I think all I had required was English. Everything else I had taken and was up on so that I could coast. And I was looking for electives, man. I was looking for electives that I could just go. And I had double period agriculture scheduled for my 12th grade. I wanted to go out there in the field, sneak around back and have me one. Amen. I was addicted to cigarettes then. I used to get whipped for it at school. Amen. But anyway, that was back in the day. Hallelujah. God, but there's a young man sitting in that literature class and a whole bunch of those seniors in it. And he announced, the teacher announced, we're going to talk about the Bible as a book that has impact. Does any one of you know anyone that can come here and discuss? He gave the subject, so we couldn't get off course. The patriarchs of the Old Testament, Bible patriarchs. We're talking about Abraham. We're talking about Moses. We're talking about Joshua. Those patriarchs, amen. Boy, this guy in the back that came to our church, he's waving his hand like that. My preacher knows everything about all of that. And I knew, you know, but I didn't know that much. He made me out to be a Bible professor with a degree in theology. And so, since he thought another cerebral person was going to come and address the class on Bible patriarchs, and I thought, Lord, I'm a preacher of Jesus. It's going to be hard for me just going and talk to them about the leaders of the Judeo-Christian religious systems. And here I'm going to come in, and I want to tell people about Jesus. I got an anointing to talk about Jesus. Besides that, I got a heart to do it. I love to do it. I love to lift up His great name. Hallelujah. There's no salvation in any other. There's victory in His name. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Praise God. Where two or more of you are gathered together in my name. Don't get me excited this morning. Praise God. Try to hold back as much as you possibly can. Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully. Amen. Where two or more of you gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And then he went on to say, amen. And if two of you on earth shall agree, he's here for a purpose. Amen. If any two of you on earth shall agree is touching anything that they shall ask, because we come together in his name, because we come to the Father in his name. If two of you on earth agree on anything that they shall ask, it'll be given them of my Father, which is in heaven. I'm here as the go-between. I'm here as the mediator. I'm here to verify, praise God, that you have a relationship with God, and you're his sons and daughters. Hallelujah. We're here in his name. His name. His name. That's why the devil fights our agreement. The word agree means harmony, symphony. It means we are in one mind and one accord, and that's when the miracles occurred. And there's so many people divided. They're listening. And Jesus wants his name to be exalted above the enemy and above all the other junk. Because if it is, he's going to lift you up. Amen. Listen to what it said. It said, and they that know thy name, there's an incentive to trust him. They will put their trust in thee. Can you say, man, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. And I'll give you preachers that are going to tell you about me. I'll send my son to show you what I'm all about. Praise God. Hallelujah. They that know thy name. They'll say it with me again. Know thy name. How many's ever heard this scripture? I won't read it, but just for the sake of pointing us in the right direction. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. It's not about power versus power. It's not about the fact that a more powerful God is in you and there's a power conflict. This is about something different. It's in 1 John. It's in the context of hereby we know the true spirit of Jesus Christ as opposed to the spirit of Antichrist. For every spirit in any preacher religious system that confesses not that Jesus has come in the flesh is Antichrist. And we're able to distinguish a religious system that has no saving power in it from the true faith that can set men and women free, bring them out of Satan's prison houses. Because he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. It's so you can discern. It's so you can distinguish. Can you say, man, when he, the spirit of liver shivers on Sunday morning, shall come. No, when he, the spirit of truth, shall come. He will guide you into all truth. And the Bible said in 1 John, we have an unction. Amen. If it were possible, the Bible said the very elect. Satan is so deceptive, but particularly through dead religious systems that cannot save, cannot deliver, cannot set free. If it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. The Bible said in the last days, if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, for the Bible said in 1 John, we have an unction from the Holy One. That word unction means a special anointing, a peculiar anointing, a particular anointing. Can you say amen? To do what? To know truth and distinguish it from error. This thing is so real. Paul said, if an angel comes and preaches another gospel, let him be anathema. Don't just look at him, listen to him. Because no marvel if Satan himself be transformed into an angel of light. I want to caution you about the Mormon religion. It is not Christianity. It is not akin to Christianity. It is not compatible with Christianity. Lay the Book of Mormon beside the New Testament and they won't mingle. They will not merge. Are you criticizing other religions? No, I'm just defending ours. If you want to be that, you can be anything you want to. Can you say amen? I mean, no, you can be anything you want to. You can do anything you want to. You don't have to listen to God. You don't have to listen to me. But you've got to reap what you sow. You've got to live with the results of your choices. And believe me, it is choices here today. Spirit of Antichrist doth already work. And God's love will never permit a system that will damn a soul in the name of tolerance. That is not love. That is not tolerance. That is complete compromise. That is siding with Satan. Amen. It's allowing the spirit of Antichrist to try to coexist with the truth. And that won't work. We're not being cruel. We're not being hard. We're being truthful. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. And if you continue in my word, can you say, man, what's going to happen? You're going to know the truth, the Bible said. Someone asked me at work one time, he said, didn't it say that the truth would set you free? I said, yes, it did. But it also said, if you continue in my word. Can you say, man, in my word, you will know the truth. And then the truth will set you free. Somebody asked Jesus one time, what is truth? He said, I'm the truth. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anybody that tries to come to the Father any other way is a thief and a robber. I died. It's my blood that sprinkled the mercy seat. And without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice for sin. No wonder the devil hates the truth. A world church is going to form. Amen. And every church and religious organization is going to have to lay down their perception of truth. And elements of what used to be the Christian church will gladly, readily join it because they're already laying down the great truths of the scripture. And that's why the letter to Jude said, it's needful that I write unto you that you earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Because if you don't put up for a fight for it, you're going to lose it. Churches will exist. Steeples will tower toward heaven. Choirs will sing. Robed ministers and unrobed will minister. But truth is the only thing that will set men and women free. And if you continue in my word, what do you know? You'll know the truth. You'll know Christ. You'll know who he is. You will know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And the truth, that truth will set you free. Everybody say, set me free. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen to Psalm 124. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, I'm going to read the first 8 verses. Now may Israel say. So here's a song of David, a song of degrees. And he made this statement. He said, everybody here in the temple, everybody came to worship. Let all Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. They had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. See, the Bible said when Satan, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. That's why I preach the shield of faith as God's promise to protect us, God's promise to defend us, God's standing between us and the ones who want to harm us and hurt us. Amen. Thou, O Lord, David said, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. You don't need a facelift today. You need a faith lift today. Has anybody seen that commercial about the lifestyle lift? And amen. And they can grab this, grab that turkey stuff that gets there after a while and pull it back behind your ears and make a little incision, pull it back and sew it back up. And you can get a facelift. But there are people here that's got a pretty face if they had a faith lift. Because then they could smile in spite of their trouble simply because God is helping them through their trouble. Amen? Hallelujah. Yeah, because God is helping them through it. Because they know him. He won't leave. He won't forsake. He's able to take everything and work it together for good to them that love him and are the called according to his purpose. I know whom I have believed, and I am fully persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day. There is absolutely no doubt. My soul is in his hands. My life is in his hands. My breath is in his hands. My present is in his hands. My future is in his hands. I know my God, and I am not moved. Hallelujah. To know a name in the ancient economy and even up until Jesus' time was to denote a character of a person. So when you knew God's name, you begin to comprehend and understand his person, not just his power. They knew his wonders. They saw the Red Sea part, but they didn't know his ways, his person. When they got to obstacles, they turned back and limited the Holy One of Israel. Amen? You need to know more than his power. You need to know him. Oh, by the way, there was a song that came out of my era in a galaxy far, far away in a time long, long ago. To know him is to love, love, love him. And I do. Knowing God will cause you to fall in love. You don't fall in love with power. You fall in love with a person. Can you say amen? Let me read the rest of this. Good. Before we change the order today. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul if God hadn't been on our side. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Can you say amen? Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You got a good helper. Can you say amen? I believe that the God who made heaven and earth and help me no matter what circumstance I'm in. I believe a God that big and that good and a God that would give his own son. Paul put it to us this way. He said, if God loved us enough to give us his only begotten son in the New Testament, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Can you say amen? If he loved you enough to give his son to die for you, he's not going to withhold anything that's good for you from his heart or his hand. Can you say amen? It makes sense to me that he's given heaven's best already. He's not going to hold back now, Brother Taylor. Amen. Praise God. But we need to get to know him enough that we trust him. Know him enough that we trust him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean to your understanding. You've got to know somebody to trust them. Amen. A stranger comes up to me on the street and said, I want to give you $100,000 so you can start your building fund. I would be wary. A stranger. I don't know them. I could hope that they meant it. I could hope that God sent them. But I couldn't believe a stranger until they wrote me the check and it didn't bounce. Can you say? Can you say, man? Then I could say, oh, hallelujah. Because I don't know this person. But if Willie got filthy rich. A t-shirt the other day said, I'm stinking filthy rich. Underneath it said, well, two out of three ain't bad. Figured that out later. But if Willie got stinking filthy rich, he didn't tell anybody because he didn't want nobody borrowing from him. If I got rich, I'd have to either give most of it away or move away somewhere and take on a new name. Yeah. Say, where's Brother Bimble? I have no earthly idea. He was headed for Alaska, but that was just a ruse. He really headed another one. Anyway, no, I wouldn't leave you. Amen. Listen to me. If Willie came and said, Brother Bimble, look me in the eye and said, God has blessed me with such a blessing, and I want to give $100,000 to start a building fund for you to build on this property because God is going to increase your people. He's going to send in hungry people, people that want to be in church, people that want to hear the word, people that want to grow in God. We got an email from Kenya, East Central Africa, Kenya, from a minister, a pastor, and he's in Kenya. And he said, thank you for the message, and I appreciate your website. He said, any Christian who wants to grow should come to your website. Any Christian who wants to what? Just sit and watch the preacher preach, listen to the songs, go out like we came in? No, any Christian who wants to grow. Who wants to grow? Who wants to grow? Who wants to grow? How many in here want to grow spiritually? The Bible said you got to have a heart for this. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Amen. Praise God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. And the word of God, amen, is to furnish us for all the work and things that God has called us to be and to do, that the man might be fully furnished to every good work. And it's for reproof, and it's for correction, and it's for instruction in righteousness. Can you say amen? But it all starts with knowing your God. When you know your God, hallelujah, you will be strong and you will do exploits, not stand still in fear. That's why the prophet of old said, I can look at my circumstances, but I know God so well. My circumstances do not transcend my knowledge of Him. So though the fig tree shall not blossom, though there be no fruit in the vine, no cattle in the stall, yet I will glory in the God of my salvation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. For He, this is what I know He's going to do in my situation. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. Praise God. Amen. This is the young deer with the hooves that were made for the high places. Can you say amen? And said, he will make me, in one translation, to make progress, not stand still upon my high places of responsibility and discouragement. Wherever there's a circumstance to press me down, there's a God who's going to lift me up. Hallelujah. I know that about him. And the Bible said again, for we know. It's not just the scripture, it's about knowledge. They will feed you with knowledge and understanding. The Bible didn't say that all things work together for good. That's not the scripture. It's part of the scripture. Part of it. It says, for we know that all things work. How do we know? Because Brother Bimble told. I appreciate that, but that's not enough. You got to know that you know that you know. You got to know your God enough to know that he's able to subdue everything unto himself. Praise God that he has a plan, he has a purpose, and he can take what was meant for evil and use it for good if you would keep your trust in him. For we do know. Say it with me. For we do know. Hallelujah. For we do know that all things work together for what? For good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son. Even that puts us on our face in total surrender, he said, that is producing what I want to accomplish in the life of every one of my children. I want you to be like Jesus. Brother Bimble, are you there yet? Oh, no. None of us are there yet. So we're all dressed up in a robe of righteousness, and we got somewhere to go. Amen. I don't care how long you've been in church. You ain't just like Jesus yet. So we got something to learn. We got somewhere to go today. And God wants to take us as a family. God wants to take us as a church. God wants to take us as a collective body. Not just a few of us, but all of us. Can you say amen? We're in a purging right now. Amen. A lot of people just don't want to go anywhere but where they are. But God will not let us sit that way. Every branch that bears fruit, amen, he purges that it might bring forth more fruit. He tells us what the purging element is in John 15. Now you're clean. Amen. That's what purging does. It cleanses us. Praise God. Hallelujah. You are clean through the word. Through the word. If the word's going to cut off something dead, it's going to have to be a little bit sharp sometimes. But it's an act of love. Because if you let those dead limbs stay on there, it is not going to be a fruitful plant. It's not going to be a flowering plant. But if you cut off those dead limbs, it's going to grow up and out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God wants this church to grow up and then grow out. But it starts with growing up into him who is the head to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I'm praying for the people who don't want to go, that they will get a want to in their heart, that they will desire to grow. Whatever it takes. And ever since I've been praying, God said there's some people that the world has such a hold on. They're going to be like brands plucked out of the fire. They're not going to come because you tell them how much God loves. Because if they would, they'd be here now. And they're not. They're slipping away. The world is more important than anything God has to say. Any worship of God. We're being purged. But I'm going to tell you something. If you think people can walk out from under God's covering, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about his wings. And be blessed somehow that they can just make it all work, figure it all out by their ingenuity, their intelligence, their industriousness. You're wrong. Israel tried that, and they made money at the marketplace. And he said, you put your money into bags with holes. If I had a bag with a hole in the bottom, I could fill it full of gold coins. Start walking back with my gold coins. Guess what would happen by the time I got home? They'd all be gone. They'd all be gone. Why? Because God is not honored. God is not honored. honor the Lord with what? The first fruits of all of your increase. Amen. Then shall thy barns be filled with fatness. Can you say, man, God can legitimately bless us to be a blessing? Hallelujah. But we got to honor him. That means we got to put him first. Can you say, man, they that do know their God. And God wants you to know him. Know that he loves you. Don't doubt for one minute that God loves you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. The name, Psalm 20 and verse 1, as we work to a closing quickly today. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Wouldn't it be great when the trouble comes? Number one, if God was listening because he could be for us, because we're not playing games with God. And he would answer that prayer when the trouble comes. He would either grant grace, he would grant deliverance, he would defend us. He'll do all of those things. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the Lord God of Jacob defend thee. What did David say when he fought the giant? I come at you in the name of Saul, the great anointed appointed king of Israel. No, you come at me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Can you say amen? The name of the Lord. He knew his name. And he wasn't stymied by fear. He was steadfast. He took action. The Bible said the giant said, I'm going to cut your head from your body. I asked for a warrior, a man to fight. And you send me this boy, but I'm going to kill him anyway. And David ran toward the giant. They that do know their God, Brother Taylor. Oh yeah, it's in the Bible. He ran toward the enemy instead of from him. Up five smooth stones, put them in his pocket. Why five? I have no idea. It didn't take but one. To the whole army of Saul, he was too big to hit. To David, he was too big to miss. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Why? Because he said, I'm not coming in my name. I'm not coming in the king's name. I don't even have the king's armor on. They put it on me and I shook it off. Because my trust is in the name of the Lord God of Israel. That is what is defending me. Praise God. We're going to talk about those ancient names of God that David knew. He knew he was Jehovah Shammah. He knew he was Jehovah Sikkenu. He knew I'm right with God and God is going to stand with me in battle. He knew he was Jehovah Shalom. I've got perfect peace facing this great enemy because I know God is for me. Let all Israel say, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. He picked up that stone and he let her rip. It struck him in the forehead. And he fell forward, not backward. He was prone and prostrate before David. Not really David, but the Lord God of Israel. Can you say, man, the name of the Lord God of Jacob defend thee? Call upon the name of the Lord and he will deliver you. And you will glorify him when that prayer is answered. God will get the glory. Can you say, man, and call upon my name and I will show you great and mighty things. Listen, God is so powerful, so wonderful. Praise God. Amen. Psalm 20 and verse 7 in closing. Some trust in chariots. And some in horses. But we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Can you say amen? You know what David did? He walked over to that man laying prostrate before him. Pulled his sword out of his sheath. Picked it up and let it go down. And severed his head from his body. And the fear of the name of the Lord God of Israel swept through the enemy's camp because they said, that little boy didn't do that. There's a God in Israel. And if one little shepherd boy can do this to the greatest warrior we've got, what about that army over there? Are they like him? Do they know the name of their God? Do they know it enough to be steadfast and take action? Or are they stymied with fear every time an enemy raises up his head? No, they knew. They knew it then, because the Bible said they rose up and gave chase, because they said, God is in this. God has went out before us. Can you say, man, this little young man has showed us that God is with us and God is for us. And they took courage in their heart. That's why one person's victory is important to what happens in other people. Can you say, man, I can't afford to come down here and let somebody hang on me what's hanging on them, because what's hanging on them is dragging them down. And if I let them hang it on me, it'll drag me down. And if we all get drugged down, the enemy will prevail. But I didn't come here to be defeated by the devil this morning. I came here to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To proclaim his name, to preach his name. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor, I came here to lift up Jesus. Hallelujah. You can think about what you want to, but my meditation of him shall be sweet. Wow. To boast is to have confidence in and to trust in. In biblical times, a name represented a person's character, his attributes or nature. To know God's name is to have his character revealed and understood. Essentially, to know him, to know who he is. Hallelujah. It was Paul's quest with all the spiritual gifts and experiences he had. He said, oh, that I might know him. Can you say, man? In the fellowship of his sufferings and in the power of his resurrection, that I might know him. Praise God. God is a strong tower for his people. This is one of my most quoted scriptures. Oh, this is where I live. Brother Bimble, where you live? Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Everybody say safe. Safe. That word safe is a wonderful Hebrew word. It literally means lofty. Inaccessible. Somebody say inaccessible. Inaccessible. By implication, safe and strong. Well, I suppose so. If it's inaccessible, you're pretty safe there. Can you say, man? The Amplified says, safe, high above evil and strong. Hallelujah. There's a place in God where you can live in victory. Not a place where trouble doesn't come, but where it doesn't touch your spirit. It doesn't keep troubling your mind. Troubles come and go, but God is faithful. And he's so strong today. Hallelujah. Let me read 2 Samuel 22 in closing. We're doing real good today. Better than usual. Psalm 22, 1 through 4. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge. My Savior, thou savest me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. He's boasting in the Lord. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. You got to know him enough to trust him. Know him enough to know his ways, that he will not forsake you through these things. He will navigate you through these places. He will lift you up. I can't do that, but God can and God will. I can introduce you. Did anybody introduce you to, or did you just find each other? Did you meet him in a field where he saw you? He saw you. It didn't work that way, and you met in the middle. Woo! Don't usually happened that way. I don't remember that happening between me and Pamela. In fact, I had someone that introduced me to her. My dad became Cupid. He said, "Have you seen that pretty girl over Corbin Hall's house with those pretty big eyes?" He did say that. He said that. And I said, "No." But that was back in my day, you know. A big-eyed girl made me act so funny. I didn't have any money, so I didn't have to worry about that. Can you say amen? I thought, if there's a pretty girl over there, I'm going. Hallelujah. Present myself. Somebody introduced me to her. They told me about her. But I got to know her through fellowship with her, spending time with her. I can tell you about him. I can introduce you to him. But you got to get to know him by spending time in his word, spending time in prayer, spending time in praise. And don't make it a job, make it a joy. When you first got married, did you have to dutifully spend time with your wife? Did you have to tear yourself away from your hobbies to spend any time with your new bride? I'm talking about when you first, I'm not talking about now. Amen. I'm talking about when you first got married. But the guy was driving the car and his wife was sitting way over there hugging the other side of the car. Remember when you first, you know, when she scooted over next to you? Remember that? Do you remember? Anybody remember that? Do you remember? Yeah. So the guy, he's real slick, you know. She's over there hugging the door and he's driving, you know. And she said, "How come you don't sit close to me anymore?" "I'm driving. Get over here." See, that was his out. If she was driving, he'd be hugging the door. Then his excuse would be gone. God wants you to get to know him. He don't want it to be a job. He wants it to be a joy. Can you say, man, when the word of God is something you enjoy instead of endure, you'll want to not miss a service. But if it's something you endure, you'll find every excuse in the world not to be here when it's delivered. Your soul is not hungry. You say, "Oh, Brother Bimble, I'm hungry. My body's just tired." You get hungry enough, you can drag your body just about anywhere. Amen. I don't mind telling you, there's a few Sundays I've drugged my body in here so my soul could be lifted up. But I didn't drag it out of here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so good. God is so good. Praise the Lord. We could preach on and on and on, but have you got enough understanding that God wants you to know him intimately and personally? And he wants you to grow in that knowledge. You say, "Brother Bimble, you must be there. You must know everything there is to know about God." Are you kidding me? One of the things I know about him is you can't know everything about him. But you can know enough about him to put your trust in him. Hallelujah. And that may be all I need to know. Can you say, "Man, I don't know much, but I do know this. He loves me. He's almighty. He's my creator and my savior, my father and my friend." Everybody say creator, savior, father, and friend. Wow. My creator, my savior, my father. And my friend, I have not called you servants. Jesus said, "I've called you friends." Heretofore, you've asked the Father nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive, for the Father himself loveth you. I go to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My creator, my savior, my father, and my friend. Hallelujah. They that do know their God will be strong and take exploits. That's why David slayed a giant. That's why Israel followed suit, because they began through David to know God is here. God is with us. Hallelujah. But they would have never had the faith to do what David did, because they didn't know God like David knew him. And where did he get to know him? Sitting, watching over the sheep by himself. picking up a harp and composing songs that we now call psalms. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then he'd bring it in and say to the chief musician, when we get together, sing these words. Don't just say them. Worship him. Praise him. It's what I know about him. Sometimes I go through doubt and fear. He always lifts me from the miry clay. He sets me upon the rock. Puts a song in my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, do you want to go with us? Some aren't going with us. I'm going to tell you it's a bittersweet thing. I don't want to lose anybody, but some people just don't want to be here. They don't want this word or any other word. They don't want this worship or any other worship. They just don't want to be in church. They don't want to follow God. They will find an excuse. They will probably blame you or me or all of us. We're not to blame for people falling out of love with Jesus. I can't hold you up by my strength, but I can point you to my God. Can you say, man? And he will lift you up if you will look to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. He will lift you up. I love you. I'd do anything in the world for you. Paul said, if my life, my death would save Israel, I would let myself come under the judgment of God and be accursed so that they might have life. But he said, it's not my death that can save anybody. It's the death of Jesus on that cross. It saved then, it'll save now. It brought hearts to fall in love with him, and it can still stimulate hearts that haven't hardened. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Well, have you learned anything today? Thank you, Jesus. Do you want to learn some more? Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you want to grow up into him who is the head? Praise God. You want a personal walk with God. You want him to hear you in the day of trouble and prayers to be answered. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know what your trouble is, but I know it's bad. And I know it's dark. And I know it seems so impenetrable. But that's all a lie of the devil. It's all a lie of the devil. I'm going to close with this story. You may have heard it, you may not, but the devil is a liar. And he'll speak and lie to you when the trouble comes that God don't love you, God is not answering, God is not in control, and all of that is a big, fat lie. Say it with me, a big, fat lie. Guy was traveling down the road. He saw a sign. He was a city slicker. But he wanted to go for a drive to get rid of the stress out in the country. And he saw a sign that said, talking dog, $10. He passed the sign and thought, that's crazy. But then he thought, you know something, I'm going to call that man's bluff. I'm going to see what this is all about. He backed up to a dirt road, pulled out to a farmhouse about 3 acres down that road. And then there was a man sitting on the front porch in a rocking chair. Amen, old farmer, and a big old bloodhound looking, well, he's mixed, a big old hound dog laying there on the porch, just laying there like he's dead. He walked up, he said, I saw your sign out front. He said, yeah, you want him? He said, no, I just want to ask you about that sign because it said talking dog. I want to know what you meant by that. And the dog said, yeah, I can talk. I can talk all day long. I can talk from daylight to dark. I was once a dog, highly decorated by the CIA, because a man would put on dark glasses like he were blind and walk in with me and say, I got to go to the bathroom in some high-level meeting. When he went to the bathroom, I would sit in the corner and listen to every word they said and tell them everything they said. And I was highly decorated by the President of the United States and the head of the FBI. I worked for the CIA undercover. I have been to foreign countries. I have been in rooms with dignitaries. I'm a highly decorated dog because I can understand and I can talk. That man is flabbergasted. He is completely astounded. And he said, "You got a talking dog? And you're only asking $10? He said, "Yeah, that's right." Said, "He ain't been nowhere but right on that porch lane right there his whole life. He won't even bark. He's a big, fat liar. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie, and I'm tired of listening to his lies." Have you figured it out yet? The devil is a big, fat liar. The truth is not in him. Praise God. But Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life." Hallelujah. If you get a hold of this truth about God, you'll know the truth. You'll know your God. Not just the Bible, but the God who the Bible talks about. And he will set you free. Can you say amen? He will set you free. Not just the words on the page, but the God who sits upon the circle of the earth. Will you stand to your feet today? Hallelujah. That one I gave you before. Are you ready to worship? Hallelujah. We used to have Holy Ghost services. People fell out and had a wonderful time. Some people even got healed. But they didn't know their God. They knew his power. They didn't know his person. They never fell in love with him. Many of them fell away and backslid after exposure to all of that power. Amen? After exposure to all of that power, they fell away. Because you don't fall in love with power. You fall in love with a person. And you can't fall in love with a person like the construction workers do when somebody in a short skirt walks by. "I think I'm in love." We need to spell that last word differently, don't we? It's not love. You don't know that. Besides, my great-grandmother, my Mimo, used to say, "Pretty is as pretty does." A lot of people fell in love with a personality, ended up living with a character. And that's not fun. We smile, but it's not fun. You live with that. The Bible said it'd be better to live in the corner of a rooftop. That's in the Bible. Then with a brawling woman. And it's not just against women. It can work both ways. Sometimes both of you could be better off in the corner of the rooftop than down there together. One couple said, "I've got an end-time marriage." Wars and rumors of wars. Can you say amen? At least it's prophetic. It's not what God wants. He wants the wife to know him. He wants the husband to know him. He wants us both to love him. And as we grow up in him, we grow closer to one another. Praise God. Hallelujah. We meet in the middle, right where God is the center. And God pulls us through everything. Hallelujah. Oh, God is so gracious today. Come with us on this journey. Come with us on this journey. I can't just give you milk because you won't grow. Can you say, man, if I keep giving you milk, you'll stay a baby. Amen. You won't grow, but you'll wear me down after a while. But if you grow up into him, you'll help me to help others. Help me to reach others. Help me to reach the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. And together, we'll see God bless this little ministry here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Again, how many want to go on this journey to know him who we have believed? Amen. You want to go on this journey? Thank God for those hands. Praise the Lord. All right, let's worship him right now in closing.